I said, cousin Jed, sitting on the porch. I won't retire, but I might retread. Seems like that guy singing this song, he's been doing it for a long time. Song for freedom, sing a song for love, sing a song for depressed angels falling from above.
That's Neil Young from his new CD, Greendale. Neil Young, welcome back to Fresh Air. The story of Greendale is told through songs, and in the movie, the whole soundtrack is the songs, but we see the characters and we see them lip-syncing to the songs, except they're doing it as if they're lip-syncing to speech, as if they're speaking, not singing. Did you want to try to use music and image in a way that you hadn't seen done before?
Well, you know, it was exciting because I realized as soon as I had the idea of filming the story that the dialogue was done and the actors were going to be talking the dialogue in the envelope that I was singing the words in the dialogue in. And so I felt that this would mean that the actors never would really be heard themselves. Everybody had my voice. I knew that was a unique idea. And I was a little bit, maybe a little apprehensive about whether that was going to work or not, but there was no other way to do it, so I figured we'd just try it. And then when I started seeing the rushes back and we started syncing things up, I was happy with the way it looked, and I said, well, some people aren't going to believe this, but, you know, those people probably wouldn't even be watching the film anyway because of the way it looks. You know, I mean, the Super 8 aspect of it and the shakiness of the camera work and the whole thing is kind of designed to limit the audience in some ways to an audience that might like my music. But at least now they get a chance to know that something's out, whereas if I'd have just counted on the radio, there would be no way that that anyone would even know that Greendale came out.
Can you describe how you've imagined the town of Greendale and what, if any, town you've based it on?
Well, Greendale is basically a West Coast town, and it's based on many little towns. It's based on rural life, basically rural life in America. I think there's a sensibility towards things and an understanding of things in rural America that's unique, and people's values are still there's still a strong connection with the old ways.
There are three generations that are portrayed in your movie: grandparents, their children who are also parents, and then those parents' teenage daughter. Did I make that clear?
Yeah.
It's too confusing.
Yeah.
Okay. So the father, the middle generation guy, in your story, sells his soul to the devil in return for becoming a successful painter, as opposed to a painter who paints a lot but doesn't sell anything. That's a kind of old theme in music, the myth of the blues musician who sells his soul to the devil and plays great music as a result.
Wait a minute, Terry.
Yeah.
I think that this devil is sneakier than that. There was no payoff. You see, there was no sale. This devil's playful. He went in there without the artist knowing about it. And he went into and stole into the artist's studio, and this artist couldn't see clearly without his glasses on, just like his father. And so when he put on his glasses, that's when he painted. He could see the easel well, and that's when he did his work. But the devil came in his studio and found his glasses, and then by breathing on his glasses and cleaning them with his with his jacket or with his handkerchief or whatever, he cleaned the glasses in a way that they'd never been cleaned before. So when the artist came back to the studio and looked through the glasses, the artist was seeing